Hey, God, thank you for today. Thank you for just the beauty of creation and nature. And God, we thank you for community, for connection. We thank you for who you are in our lives. God, we thank you that you are walking through all of this with us. And we just praise you because you are good. And we know that. And you've shown yourself to be good over and over and over and over again in our lives. So we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this time. May you just continue to help us understand you more fully and understand your word more clearly and to wrestle with things and be comfortable to step in the messiness. God, thank you. Amen. 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 I was talking to somebody yesterday, and the person was just talking about, you know, we were talking about how 2020 keeps on giving, you know, it's just kind of the year that just keeps on giving, you know, especially, you know, in Utah, you know, England's doing just fine. They have no problems, you know, so, but here in America, it just keeps giving and giving and giving. But no, and talking to this person and they were saying, yeah, like my wife has been reading Revelations and just saying like all these signs, like end times. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people right now, in a lot of Christians, who are allowing fear that all of these are more and more signs that it's about to end, right? That we are getting closer and closer. And things have been, I mean, gosh, how often is the blood moons used, you know, that we're at the end? You know, like every time I feel like we have a blood moon and, you know, people are wanting to get money. They're getting poor, so they're going to throw out something. But so many people are using Revelations and using Matthew 24 to, I believe, you know, we can discuss. I don't know where everybody is, but I believe in stuff that as Rev we've been, you know, pursuing and discussing, and understanding that a lot of stuff ends up being taken out of context, right? And people aren't really understanding the history and what's happening there when the stuff was written. And I think it's really dangerous. And we've had these, I know we've talked about this before, those that have been with me, you know, for some years, walking through all this stuff. So I know we've talked about this stuff before, but I think it bears coming back to because we're going to be hearing people with a pandemic, you know, a disease that's impacting the entire world. And in Utah, I mean, we had earthquakes, we had, you know, hurricane winds. And I know, like, you know, Florida and all these other places, like you have, you know, crazy things, but like things have changed, like patterns are changing. I mean, the way that like the West Coast is on fire, right? It's just, it's pretty crazy, but it's easy to go to this place of like, oh my gosh, everything is so bad. It's getting worse, right? That everything is getting worse. And if you really look at history, is it worse? You know, I mean, you think about World War I was quite horrific. You know, the war to end all wars. World War II was horrific. There have been earthquakes that split open, you know, like valleys, you know, major, and there, you know, there's now like canyons where those earthquakes were. And there have been diseases that have gone through, you know, the Black Death. And there's all these different things. And I think it's really easy to look into scripture to try to use what's happening now to prove these prophecies that were in scripture to say, like, oh, Jesus must be coming back soon because it's getting so bad, right? It's getting so bad, he must be coming back soon. So I want to just throw this out there. When you've talked with people who have that view, and you may share some of that view, I don't know. I don't know where everybody is. But when you hear people talk about that, what do you notice about how they're doing as a person in the midst of that? Like, what do you guys see? What do you hear in how people speak when that's their focus, right? These end times, when that's their focus, what do you see going on with people and their hearts?
Usually they're like freaked out and they're just super like anxious and like not coping well with what happens in the world, you know? So they try to pinpoint it to some other external event. and it kind of gives them, it allows them to wash their hands so they don't have to deal with that they might be part of the problem.
I like that. I mean, I like that they feel that, but like that picking up on what people are processing. Yeah. What else?
I think, like you said, Josh, fear, you know, we have this tendency to think that the opposite of love is hate. The hate's actually a byproduct of fear. So fear is really the antithesis to love, you know? And when people are afraid, they're incapable of love. And so legitimately, like when Christians are afraid, they're not actually living like Jesus. We're called to fear not. How many times has he tell his disciples that in the midst of scary stuff? Do not fear, you know, like water's coming over the bow of the ship, you know, stuff that's like has nothing to do with seasons. It just has to do with like an event, you know, and he's telling them like, do not fear. Why are you afraid? I mean, Jesus is asleep in the ship when that's happening on one occasion. And they wake him up freaking out, like, why are you doing something? And he basically he gives them a rebuke for their level of fear. And I think that, like, we don't take ownership of fear. We believe that when we're afraid, we have no choice in the matter. And as a feeling, I think that we feel fear, and that's a different thing than like letting a spirit of fear dictate how we're going to actually treat people. That's a different thing, right? I can feel fear and then be able to express it in some ways and let it move past, but that's not what's happening a lot of like with these kinds of things. People are like actually, formulating their life around fear in Christians. And that's like, that doesn't work. You can't be compassionate, patient, all the things that love is defined. You can't do that when you're living in a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good check. Like we all experienced it, you know, for sure.
What else do people see when people start on that trail? Anything different? So as we are continuing to move forward, I really like Nikki posted something. I wish she was here, but anyway, Nikki posted something on Instagram and just saying like, I'm not focusing on all the negative. I'm not going to join in those conversations, you know, like, and just, she was kind of just making a statement and it was really, I love what was written there. But in this, there are a lot of people who are, and there are a lot of Christians who are putting things out there. Like, when we had earthquakes in Utah, you know, people would start to, you know, and whether or not joking or not joking, I don't, you know, you don't always know, but people putting things out like, look, here's the earthquakes. Now the earthquakes have started. You know, what's the next sign? You know, what's the next thing that's going to happen? And people continuing to pull those things into, you know, today and what we're looking for. And like Aaron was saying, like, when we go to fear, what happens, what I've noticed as well is, There becomes for some people like this urgency of like proselytizing, but then it's fear-based proselytizing, right? And I think there's a big difference between love-based and fear-based. If you believe to like the end of the world, like there's all these signs and the end of the world is coming, and I'm not saying we should not have this like urgency to talk to people, right, about him, but if it's coming from this place of fear, it goes to those billboards of, when you die, where will you go? Right? And I've brought this into like messages before, but it's that idea of like, we're trying to scare people into heaven. Right? We're using this fear tactic. I want to go to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. Not because I really know who God is. I just want to get out of hell. You know, it's kind of like, and I'm not saying that everybody's conversion is like that, but it's a scare tactic. It's using fear, right? And though there's a reality to this separation, when you look at Jesus, it's this pursuit of love and relationship. I can't remember who I was talking to, but I talk to people. You know, there's lots of people in conversations, and I can't keep everyone straight, you know? Like, I live alone, but somehow I have all these conversations. I don't know how this is working out. But we are in a really, I really believe we're in a beautiful time. And maybe I brought this up like last week when I think when Aaron was teaching, but we have a beautiful opportunity to be peace and hope and love in such a crazy time. Like we really do. Mm-hmm. And at work, you know, somebody was saying something. And I said, well, you know, we have an opportunity to learn a lot more. And she's like, you're always so positive. And I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad that you feel that way. You know, like that's what I wanted to say. I'm glad that you feel that way. But as people are pulling these things, I just wanted to look through some stuff with, you know, Matthew 24, because I was reading in Matthew. And just as you have people bring up things, that this is another viewpoint that you can give them about what these things were pointing to, these prophetic times, you know, how they were pointing to 70 AD. And so you can talk to people and bring up something else. And as I've related and talked to people, especially in Uganda, that's where I've had a lot of these conversations, because there's a lot of that, like really holding on to these like prophecies in the Old Testament and Matthew 24. And I've had some great discussions. And as I've had discussions with people, there's almost like this relaxing and this resting of like, oh, I'm not waiting for all of these signs to line up. And I'm trying to find them, right? It's something that was already done. So in Matthew 24, because I think just to have this stuff in the forefront and to be able to discuss this stuff, I think it's going to be coming up. You know, our world is changing. There's a lot of things that are in our face. There are things that have been under the surface that are now being exposed. There is a pandemic that, because of the way that we travel, is impacting the world in ways that things haven't in the past, because transportation and flying and all that stuff. We live in a different world than when I was a kid, than when my mom was a kid, than when some of you really young people were kids, which wasn't that long ago, but you know, you know, like 5 years ago when you were when you were children still. And anyway, with all of that stuff, our world is changing. And for us to be able to be secure in who He is, that we're not living under this place of fear, is really going to be powerful. And then we're going to be able to check other believers in a healthy way to say like, oh, did you know that sign, like that was already fulfilled? Or when you think of this prophetic thing, like we're actually not looking for a helicopter to match that in Revelation. You know, like, I mean, the things that people take out of context and try to twist to match today because they're trying to find answers. We are so hungry for answers, right? We want to know why everything's happening, which is why some people, like a tsunami happens, are like, oh, it must be because they're trying to, it's all the sin in that country, mm-hmm. right? It's because they passed this law for, you know, gay rights, and so there's going to be a big earthquake. You know, like those kind of things. We're trying to find reasons, and so we take God and we twist things about Him to fit what we think, to make us think, like, okay, at least there's a reason for this. Instead of it being, we live in a broken world. We live in a world, there's a scripture, it says that, you know, the world is groaning for the sons of men to be revealed, for believers to rise up and be who we were created to be. I heard, I don't agree with everything in his life personally, but I do, his teachings on things, Jonathan Welton, I don't agree with his life personally, so I'm just going to put that out there. But the stuff that he's teached on, it's a good thing he's the one that's taught, that teached it, you know what I'm saying? Oh, gosh, you're welcome. These sixth graders are in good hands this year. Some of the stuff that he's taught on, what's happened for my heart is this peace and this resting of knowing that coming outside from under this place of fear, of looking for all these signs, of resting and just believing and having hope that God is working, that God is moving. And one of the things that Jonathan Welton has talked about is saying that the world will actually get better before Jesus returns. Because as the sons of men, as Christians rise up to be who we're created to be, This world can change in a positive way. And I've talked about this before, and I really do believe that. If you look at how many people believe it or claim that they are believers in the world, it is about a third of the population. You know, that's like 3 billion people that claim, you know, Christianity, to claim have a relationship with God. I'm not saying all of them necessarily do, but that's a lot of people. And if we really loved well, if we really brought hope and joy and peace, if we lived out from under this place of fear and weight and heaviness and burden and all of that, and we really like followed what Jesus was leading people into, I really believe this would be a different world. And so part of going through, you know, Matthew 24 is just to look at some of these things, things that we've heard, things, and you may have a you may disagree, and that's totally fine. But just to throw things out, and things that this is not going to be new for some of you, and so I get that. But are we willing to have that discussion with somebody, or just tell somebody, hey, have you thought that maybe that's not right? Maybe that's not how that was looked at. Have you ever heard of 70 AD? And there have been so many people. I was 30 when I first heard about 70 AD and the fall of the temple. It's like 30, I was in my 30s at least. Like, that's crazy. Nobody ever taught me that that had happened. Nobody ever taught me about Matthew 24 and these things being fulfilled in that time. Nobody told me that the old covenant finally ended at 70 AD, because when the temple was destroyed, that all the books with all of the priesthoods was destroyed and they couldn't continue that on, right? Nobody told me that the two covenants, the one with Jesus and the old covenant, were going simultaneously until 70 AD, when it was finally cut off, and then the new age was just with Jesus, right? That was the new covenant and the other one was done. Nobody told me that stuff. I had no idea. And so, which is sad to me, to live 30 years in church and not know that. And I remember talking to my dad and him saying, he's like, oh yeah. Like, that's, and I said, well, you were my pastor for a lot of those years. Like, what? Nobody sat and explicitly taught that stuff, or I didn't hear it. You know, maybe some people did, But I think it's really important for us to look at some of these, things that people believe that place them under fear, you know, and I think just to have that prepared and ready to counter. And when I've told people, when they've said certain things, and I've told people about 70 AD, and I explain that. Now, again, I'm not a theologian. Today is for me not to be like smarter. Some of you guys, I know, Chayton, it's a shocker. I know. And I mean, I might say things and I might say them a little bit wrong. And so some of you who are just brilliant, you know, you can pat yourselves on the back. You're just so smart. You can help me out with some of the details. But it's interesting how we often take things out of context, or we're taught things as we grow up, but we're never, we're not often told that there could be a different way to think about it. Right? We're not, and some people, when they hear some of these things and these different beliefs, some churches won't teach on them because it goes against, you know, what they're doing. And it's like, so instead of looking at history and looking at some of these things that happened and really looking at the context, they want to hold on to a belief system that helps them believe that, like, everything is so urgent, which I'm not saying it's not urgent, everything's so urgent, we have to do this. And if we believe that that's already taken place, then maybe people are not going to be as faithful. Anyway, I don't know what people are thinking sometimes in their heads, because I can't read minds yet, but I'm working on it. I'm almost there, Dan. I am almost there. I can read about one mind sometimes. So I'm getting better. But so some of the things that were talked about, one of the things that I hear people say is, you know, the Antichrist, right? And so I don't know if you guys have heard anybody in the last, like, years, let's say like 20 years, to be referred as like, oh, this is the Antichrist. Has anybody? Okay. Four of them. Okay. Go ahead, Dan, who?
Trump, Obama, Biden, and, what's his fucking, Gary Johnson.
Okay.
Basically, every president has probably been called the Antichrist at some point in the presidency.
Right.
Gorbachev, because of his, birthmark that he had, dude. USSR, man, it's the great Satan. Come on.
Dude, then it's Drew Brees, too, with that birthmark. And a quarterback of the Saints, that's how Satan gets you.
What? Oh, my gosh. It's good that I know that I can make sure I don't fall down that same rabbit hole. So, you know, when it's talking about in Matthew, Matthew talks about false messiahs and false prophets in Matthew, like, 14. And so a lot of people have used these things to be like, okay, oh, here. Like, this is the Antichrist. And I know in, like, Revelation and there's other places. But, like, there are going to be throughout history antichrists, people who are leading people away from Jesus, right? I mean, that's going to be happening because the enemy is rising people up. But people are looking for one particular person, right? That is the Antichrist. This is the sign that this is actually the end times. Oh, no, sorry, that one wasn't bad enough. It's actually this next one. This is now the Antichrist. Now, this one's worse than the last one, so we're really almost there. And it's just getting worse and worse. These people are not great people, but if you look back in history, there have been more wretched people than the people that we have in politics right now. Okay? And, you know, when it talks, it's true, Dan. I mean, it's true. I know that you're not a fan of, you know, communism and Marxism and all that stuff that's being pushed, but it's true. There have been worse before now. But when you look at some of the stuff that's being preached, like the scripture, and I don't have all these scriptures, they are there, I do promise. But when it says that the mark of the beast, right? The beast is going to rise up. And when I was reading some of Jonathan Welton's stuff, it was talking about how Nero was considered a beast. And the way that he would clothe himself in these beast-like skins, he would tie people up, Christians, and he would attack them and attack their genitals. Like, he was a horrible person. And so when there was this prophetic thing saying this beast will rise up, he ended up being known as a beast. But yet we're trying to find somebody to fit into these things to be like, oh, we're looking for this person to say, like, oh, now Jesus is coming back. This is the worst person. This is the worst Antichrist. This is, like, whatever person we're looking for. Anyway, that to be said, we don't understand what was happening in that time. The believers during that time, when 70 AD had happened, they're like, oh my gosh, here is the fulfillment of all of these prophecies, right? When it says wars and rumors of wars. So in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, it says there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. And so people are like, oh my gosh, look, nations are rising against nation. Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know a decade in any written history that there hasn't been nations rising against nations. Mm-hmm. Like, that's been happening forever, but it was saying that at that time when this was written, this prophecy was being said, like, that's going to be happening in this next generation. Right? This is going to be happening. You're going to see nations rise up, so be watching for that. Well, nations have been rising up against nations for the last 3,000 years. So if we're waiting for it to tell us that, oh, now this is a sign that Jesus is coming back, when is it actually the real nations rising against nations if we're still waiting for that to happen? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it World War III? Is that the worst nations rising against nations? But this is what believers do. They take these things and they're like, oh, this must be it, because they're not looking at what was actually being fulfilled at that time. And if we don't really understand this stuff or aren't willing to kind of challenge some of that stuff, we're going to have people continue to put that stuff out there and live in this place of fear. Mm-hmm. Famines. There's going to be famines. People have you noticed the famines in Africa? People are like, look, there are widespread famines. We are not new to famines in the world. You know, like, during this time, this 40 years between Jesus and the fall of the temple in 70 AD, there were horrible famines that came up that impacted them directly. And they're like, here's the famines. Here's nations rising up against nations. Here are these signs that are saying we are at the end of an age, the end of a generation. Earthquakes. People have tried to use, oh my gosh, this big earthquake is coming to Utah, and as fear, that's one of the signs. These earthquakes are happening more. There are not new, like, we have been having earthquakes since the beginning of time. That's just how the tectonic plates move. You know, like, that's just part of, like, the earth groaning. Persecution of believers, Matthew 24:9. As persecution of believers increases, that means that Jesus is coming back. There's always been persecution of believers. And if you look back during that time from Jesus to 70 AD, and then you have the Colosseums in Rome and all of this different stuff. Like, talk about horrible persecution of Christians. Christians were beaten. They were fed to lions. Like, it is not getting worse now than it was in the past. Yes, there are horrible places. Yes. And we have more people. So is it impacting maybe a larger number? But are the atrocities actually worse? You know, like, we're looking for things to say, like, oh, now this is where it's actually gotten bad enough. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir. Like, you know, I know that you guys are learned, and that is a word. You are, I know that you understand, you know, like, these things. But I think we need to be ready to challenge people's views on this, or say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Because a lot of the believers are going into this place of fear-based, and I see things start to be posted during this kind of time, and it's like, oh, here's another sign. I think Jesus is coming back soon. He might be. But I promise you, it's not going to be as a thief in the night like people are talking about, in this idea of, like, he's going to come and you're not going to know that that was him. And is it that one that's out in the desert? Is it that one that's over here? We're not going to really know. It says that he's going to come like on these clouds, right? When Jesus, I believe, and I'm just saying, like, this is my understanding of stuff, I believe when Jesus actually comes back and it is all finished, there is no question that that is him riding in on those clouds. It's not going to be like, I'm coming back to have people start following me again. Jesus already did that. He already set that example. I believe it's going to be like the end, and it's going to be this glory, like this huge thing. It's like, it is absolutely finished. Here he is in power. You cannot, like, there's no way that this could be happening. I don't think he's going to come as this quiet person that is hanging out with people who are homeless. That Jesus representation already came. Anyway, that's my understanding. People falling away from the faith. People have been falling away from the faith for a long time. During this time, after Jesus died, people fell away from the faith because they were disheartened. They were like, oh my gosh, he wasn't who we thought he was. Right? He didn't overthrow the Roman government. So who, you know, what do we have? What do we have to stand on anymore? People fell away from the faith. And as people were waiting, they didn't know when this end of age, when the old covenant was going to end. It was 40 years. And he's like, you need to be vigilant. Be ready. It's going to be happening within a generation. Well, a generation in Hebrew understanding is 40 years. It happened within a generation. You know, and so when the Old Testament, or not Old Testament, the Old Covenant was finished, it was done, because those coming together was so confusing for people, right? Because it was still continuing, that system was still there, and yet people were trying to come out from underneath it. It says love growing cold, gospel preached in the whole world, like all these things. People are trying to say, like, all of these things are leading to, like, okay, when is Jesus going to come back? That all of those are prophecies, and yet those were fulfilled in 70 AD. And then people have started to use scriptures in Matthew for, like, the rapture. One will be removed and another one will remain. Well, when the Romans started going through and taking Christians, they just did it. They just started snatching people up. They just started taking people. They started throwing them into prison. They started just killing them. And you didn't know who they were going to take. It's like, it's going to get crazy for you guys, right? And then it says, when you know it's happening, flee. Flee to the hills, right? And it says that, woe to the pregnant woman. And so some people have started to use that, oh my gosh, we're in the end times, I'm not going to get pregnant. Has anybody heard that? Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard that taught, like, in this time. It's getting to the end, don't get pregnant because it's going to be bad for pregnant women. Well, it's bad because you're pregnant because you have to hike into the mountains. And that was a really, really hard time. And so woe to those pregnant women. That's going to be rough for you because you're going to have to leave everything and go fast. You might have your baby on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry for you, but you can't, like, wait to have your baby and go. When you know that it's coming and this is going to be the end and it's being destroyed. And those that didn't go to the hills, those that didn't flee, and it was the believers who fled. The Jews, they hunkered down in the temple, right? They closed off, and it became horrible. There were prophecies that mothers would eat their children. Like, that happened in the temple. Josephus writes about it, this historian. And he writes about, like, and so they got so hungry because they were being starved out. They ate their own children. It became so horrific. But it said, like, he wrote about believers, true believers, none of them died during that time because they fled to the mountains. But this isn't what people do. People take these scriptures and they twist them, right? And they try to make them fit into now, right? We are 2,000 years later. Stuff was already fulfilled. Now, there are prophecies in the Bible about Jesus coming back, absolutely. I'm not saying there are not, right? And I don't, and we don't know what day that's going to be happening, right? But this idea that he's going to come and, like, snatch at people and it's like a thief in the night, I don't believe that that's talking about, like, Jesus is going to come and try to get another, like, community of people to follow him and then it's done. I believe it's going to be like, he comes in power, it is absolutely finished. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see it as something that nobody can deny, because why would you? What is the point of Jesus coming to establish a new covenant with people again and to have people start following him? Like, I don't understand that we're looking for another, you know, Jesus to come and, oh, I think the Messiah is over here. I think the Messiah is over here. And these people were trying to twist that and saying that this Jesus, like, this coming back was going to be, how do I say it? This coming back during that time, people were misinterpreting it as Jesus was coming back in those years. But what it was really saying was that, like, that the old covenant was going to be ending, and the covenant that Jesus has established will be continuing on from that point alone as well, right? Without the old covenant covenant with it. So anyway, I'm not here to give you a history lesson. Again, I know that a lot of you guys have heard this stuff. Some of these things might be a little bit new. But I think we need to be vigilant in the reality that people are stoking up fear and taking scripture out of context. Now, some people we're not going to be able to have dialogue with, and they're just stuck into their ways, you know? But are we willing to say, like, hey, are you aware that there's documentation that was actually fulfilled already? That sign was actually about 70 AD? Because you're going to have actually a lot of Christians are going to say, what is 70 AD? I like the idea that Jonathan Welton throws out there, that if the world is groaning and waiting for the sons of men to be revealed, that as sons of men are revealed, that the world is actually going to become better and healthier and more whole. And the reason I like that, let's say that that doesn't happen. Okay, let's just say that doesn't happen. But that view, what will it do to believers to rise up and be people of love? What does this other stuff do? To hunker down in fear because you're waiting for destruction. Those are two different ways to live life. And the person I was talking to the other day, I said, you know, I have no idea how it's going to look when Jesus comes back, right? And if some of these things are pointing to some time, okay, I see it differently, and people can disagree, and that's fine. But if we're called to love, then let's just do that. Even when things get hard, let's just keep loving. Like, if we choose to do that, and I'm not saying we still need to study and go into, like, depth in this stuff and understand it, but a lot of people are not really understanding it. They're not digging deeper. They're going off of these things that have been taught, and they're living under this place of fear, which is changing the way that they're relating to people. Like, Aaron, you were saying, when you are living in a place of fear, you cannot love well. And regardless of if the world, like, some big catastrophic thing and it's ending. I mean, I was listening to NPR and it was saying, you know, like, the world might just implode or break apart, or anyway, all this different stuff. Like, they're following out, I don't know, these brainiacs that are thinking of these things. And the person's like, oh, so, like, when do you think that's going to happen? And they were like, it's probably like 50,000 years from now. You know, this person, like, throughout, like, that's kind of, as we've been, like, studying things, that's kind of the time frame, like 50,000 years. And she's like, okay, so we really don't need to worry about it in our lifetime. I don't know if that's how, I don't think that the world is going to actually just, like, explode and we all die. And then, like, I do believe there's going to be a time that Jesus, like, comes back. I don't think that the way that the world was created, and I'm just voicing what I've been processing a little bit in my head. I don't think that the world was created to, in this form, to last forever. So I think that scientists are picking up on things to say like, oh my gosh, there's an end time to this planet. Well, yeah, because it wasn't designed to live forever. There will be a new Earth, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever that looks like, I don't know. My dad said that heaven was going to be like this it really made me feel claustrophobic. I don't like it. But it's this big like building that we all like live together, like this big square like with rooms and stuff. And I was like, that sounds wretched. He's now changed his belief, you know, that he's going to have farmland and a lot of like vegetables and fruit. But he had something that he was taking and some understanding. We have no idea what heaven's going to look like at all. But if God is good, it's going to be good. And I believe that he is good. And I don't believe that it's happening tomorrow. I believe that we have a lot of work to do as believers. And if I say it's going to happen tomorrow, I live in fear and I have a hard time living today. Right? And so I think with all of this, as stuff is happening, and I totally agree, you know, with Nikki, like, and just this idea of like, I'm not going to dwell on all this stuff. Like there's good stuff. And I feel like, yes, it is a big house. A big, big house. You're right, Chayton. You're right. Big, with lots and lots of rooms. Yep, you're right.
People play football.
Yeah, where people play. Yeah, exactly. You guys, we all...
American football, though, John, so sorry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I know that, like, for me, and you guys probably get... I don't know if you get tired of it. I know that a lot of, like, the stuff that I talk about comes back to like love, but I think we just need to keep being reminded of it. That's it. Like, are we receiving love and giving it? And I'm not saying like there are things that like, hey, we don't just like condone or we say like there's ways to live in that, but it all comes from a place of love. And with stuff that's happening, I see people, I don't know who's on what messages. People have missed different weeks, so I might repeat things that I said. But my students, I give them this statement to sign. I am powerful. I will use my power for good. And I tell my students, I'm like, we all have power. And it's how we choose to use that power for good or for evil. And I said, right now in our time, in this world, we are seeing both. We are seeing beautiful hearts being revealed and people loving in such amazing ways. We were driving down the canyon and it was really interesting. We saw this guy on the side of the street with his plastic bag, just picking up trash.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, and he's not wearing one of those orange vests and he's not with like security guards. You know, he's not like doing this because he has to, you know, like, but like there are people doing good things, but you see these acts of kindness and it's just like amazing. And then you see the worst coming out of people, right? We have a choice of how we respond to such hard times. And when we go to this place of fear, when I see Christians hunker down on that, and when I see a lot of people who, not everyone that I've seen, but a lot of people who start to believe that, like, end times, this is all that stuff, because of that fear, they seem anxious, and they're not present in the moment. They're not loving people well, right? And I'm not saying that I haven't been there, because I used to believe some of those, you know, things, but it's like, if it's tomorrow, then it's tomorrow, but I have right now. You know, like, and I'm not going to worry about that stuff. I don't believe that that's when he's ending it, but I don't know. But there will be an end time for sure. But let's not allow people to continue to twist scripture to fit what they think so that they can make sense of what's happening. And I think that's the thing. Everyone is trying to make sense of stuff. And going back to, that's why people try to make sense of a tsunami. Well, I'm just going to let you know, actually, that tsunami happened because there was an earthquake under the ground because tectonic plates are moving and it, you know, so quickly, and it created a tsunami. Not because of God's judgment on a people group, but we want to make sense of it. We want to, Dan, I know you believe that it was, but I'm just saying, like, you need to get rid of that.
No, I thought of something else. It was when a pastor was like, if you get your house destroyed in a natural disaster, it's because you're gay and God hates you, and then his house got destroyed in a hurricane. That's reminding me.
That's crazy. But you know, you look at these things, but these beliefs are super damaging. And this is not a belief that we hold as a community, right? And this is not something like that we are out there preaching and you guys aren't out there preaching, but I'm saying it's out there. And for us to continue to question, because that's out there, and a lot of that stuff is very vocal, people who do not believe in these end time things are not sitting and saying, hey, guess what, guys? Oh my gosh, an earthquake just happened that has nothing to do with the end times. We're not out there saying it because it's not the thing that's the first on our minds. It's like, oh my gosh, there was an earthquake. This is a really crazy time, but thank God he's walking this with me. But yeah. I'm not out there posting that, right? So the people who are afraid are the ones out there being super vocal. And the ones that are quiet and just kind of living peacefully are not. But that stuff is out there, and it's out there loud. Right? And it's going to be out there. Now, most of the people that I follow and stuff on Facebook is not, but you see a little hints of it. I know that there are circles that is all that they're talking about. Like, I know that is, you know, like it always is. Whenever there's disasters that are happening, that's where they go with their minds, right? And it's just, it's ending. So I'm not sure. I think some private messages are happening between people. Chayton's responding. Oh, no, not at all. Okay. it's okay. Because I probably have had a few too. No, I'm just kidding. How do I say this? There's just so much good. You know, there just really is. There's so much good, but we have such an opportunity now to show peace and love and hope. You know, and all of those like scriptures. Let's just say the world is going to get better before Jesus comes back. Let's just say that is. And who's going to be a part of it getting better? Christians. I would much rather put all my money on that and have Christians actually start doing better. Even if I'm wrong. Even if it ended up not getting better. I'm just saying. Even if it doesn't get better. And instead of everything's going to really go to hell here on earth, worse than it ever has in history, because we've had horrific things throughout history. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, right? And it's going to get so horrific, and it's all that. So I'm just going to hunker down. I'm going to try to love my family the best I can. I'm going to stockpile a lot of ammunition, and I'm going to make sure that there's food in my basement, right? Like, I legit have known Christians in my life who that has been their mentality, right? Armageddon is coming. I need to be ready. People are going to try to kill me, so I'm going to get as much ammo and as much food to survive, okay? Instead of, that doesn't really propel you to do any better and help things improve because it's already going to be horrible. So you might as well just tell as many people about Jesus, but you're not going to really build relationships because you don't have a lot of time to do that, you know, because it's all ending. So let's just do it really quick and just make sure we proselytize everyone really fast. As long as we say and make them say John 3:16 and they're saved, then we're good to go. I would much... What's that? Done. Check. Check. I would much rather bank on it's going to get better and I can be a piece of the better.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to get better because the sons of men will be revealed. We are going to come from out from under this weight of religiousness, this weight of racism, of hatred, because we are different. We are going to live different in the world, not so-called, you know, Christians who are very like just about politics and all that stuff. But we are going to like actually love people better. We're going to help this world to become a better place. I would much rather go on that.
Yeah.
Just saying. The fruit of that is a lot better. And so when we are in conversations, are we willing to challenge some of people's views, you know, in that? And because we know that a lot of Christians are walking around with that belief, the way that they're loving people is from a place of brokenness. It's from a place of fear. And because of that, how are we representing love? You know, and the way, you know, with Nikki's thing, like she's like, I'm not going to talk about all the negative stuff. I'm just not going to go there. All that stuff often does is it just wires us to see all the negative. But when we start to see the positive, we're wired to see the positive. And so to challenge each other to what we see and what we hear, I believe that is kingdom. You know, if our prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? If that really was our prayer, really our heart, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I see, like, if he says pray like this, it's not pray once and it's done. pray like this, right? Continue to pray like this, because if the kingdom, if heaven's really good, I believe it is, and God's there, because God's good, so heaven's good, but it's really because of God, heaven's good. But if his kingdom is good, and he says pray for it to come here, as his kingdom comes more and more, and we are conduits for his kingdom, what does that do? It changes the world. Do you hear me? Like, if we really believe that, if we go into things, yeah, right now, like, it's not horrible stuff, but, like, I'm a little stressed. You know, work is different. But I, as I talk to people, like, there's crazy things. Like, we'll talk about stuff like, oh, my gosh, like, these winds. Did you see those winds? Like, that was crazy. But at the end of it, I left these two teachers. I was talking with them, like, and I just kind of left it positive. I said, yeah, but you know what? I know this is a crazy time. But I said, I just read this quote that said, as long as people have breath, they continue to have the opportunity for change and growth. Isn't that awesome? Like, and this was just in for some, like, for childcare like stuff. And that's not the exact quote, but it was to that effect of, like, as long as we have breath, we have the ability to change and grow. And I just left that with them. And I said, you know what? We're going to grow through this. We're going to be better people through this. And I said, these kids need us now more than ever. And for us to show up for them means something. For us to be there and say, like, hey, I recognize you, to laugh with them, it means something for these kids who are isolated, right? Aaron going to work, the way that he treats people at work, and he extends love to somebody who pokes him in the face. If he didn't hear that story, he can share that story with you another time. But, like, to love people, right? If we go out and we do that, it makes a difference, because people are hungry for something good, right? And I see it. And so when I finished up, one of the other teachers, she's a Christian as well. And so we've had some conversations, but at the end, she's like, I love you so much. She's like, you always make me feel positive at the end. And I was like, and so I kind of left, and the other teacher that was there too, she's like, yeah, she's like, we started talking about all this rough stuff and we ended and I feel better than I did before. She's like, how did that happen? You know? And it's like, because there's good and there's hope, and that power, that idea of we are powerful, using our power for good, that's kingdom. So I'm letting my students know that, but that's kingdom. I can't tell my students it's God, but for them to believe that they have power to do good can help them be open to a creator who does good. And I believe that it can plant seeds. So, all of that, when it says that the earth is groaning, waiting for the sons of men to be revealed, I believe it's saying for us to be unveiled for who we are as believers, as conduits of love, to help this world be a better place and bring his kingdom here. Me talking about this, I didn't know where it was all going to go. I had read Matthew 24 just recently. I was like, hey, you know, I'm hearing, because the person I talked to yesterday, just kind of this end time kind of doom and gloom, like, they're reading Revelations and they're seeing a lot of signs. And I was like, oh dear. But when I ended the conversation, I just said, you know what? All I can really do about any of that is love people. And if it is nearing the end, then I just need to love people even harder. And I need to be better at receiving love and better at giving it. Because that's the only thing that I have power to do anything about. You know, let's say in 3,000 years, the world is going to explode. I don't know. You know, 30,000 years, 50,000 years, Jesus is going to come back before then. But anyway, all that to be said, be willing to poke some holes in what people are seeing. And yes, poke, like that guy tried to poke a hole in Aaron's face. Please be willing to poke some holes in some of these things and look into this stuff. And if you're like, I don't really understand 70 AD, what you just brought up, and you're like, I want to know more about it, like, there are great books out there that outline it. And if you haven't read this, and I don't know how you feel, like, again, where he is in his life personally, you know, but, like, his books, I really, like, I feel like he's done his work. But Jonathan Weltland, like, you can get his book Rapturalist for free. And I've guided people to that. And it goes through Matthew 24. It goes through Revelations. And it shows how these things historically and the words that they mean have been changed. How Jesus comes back in the end and the way it looks, I really don't care. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care I don't care if things are pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, anti-trib, you know, whatever. I really don't care. And the reason I really don't care is because I 100% believe that God is good. And whatever the way that it actually ends is going to be good. You know, like, he's not going to, okay, guys, guess what? I'm a good God. Watch how horrible I can be. You know, like, look at this. Here's my end. You know, like, I have a hard time with that. So, let's choose to challenge some of those things in love, but to show people another way to look at this stuff. Because I really do think the way that we view the way it's going to end changes how we view God and who he is and how he loves. Right? The lens that we have on, our theology matters. Right? I don't understand everything about the Bible, but our theology really does matter. And when I say just go and love, absolutely. That is the ultimate. But we go and love also by bringing truth. We go and love by looking at Jesus and looking at the word and saying, like, this is actually what it says. Right? You know, like, what you've been taught, like, that's crazy. You know, there's some things when people open stuff up for me, like, and said, like, hey, did you know that this was this? I'd never heard that. Well, how are other people going to know unless we have these discussions? And so whether or not you're hearing this for a third, fourth, whatever, fifth time, it keeps it in the forefront of our minds. You know, one of the reasons that we get together, I saw somebody post this, it's not about us to come together to a church to then have our private devotional time with Jesus. Right? We come together to wrestle with issues, to encourage each other, to challenge one another, to bring truth and light to stuff so that we can then go and live it, right? And I've got lots of personal time for me and Jesus. I'm not saying like worship time and having that, but that's not the reason we get together, just to go and have our personal devotion. I like that. It made me think. I was like, oh, you know, like, what do we really come together for? And I've enjoyed our Zoom calls. This last like, couple months have been really like people are talking more. So I want to give space for that. So interweb people, I love you and always will. So there you go. And goodbye for now. If you need a book recommendation, An Optimistic Guide, Rapture List to the End of the World can give you some things to think about. Yeah.